Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Gray Matters, discussing all things senior, produced by New Mexico Reverse Mortgage, hosted by Dirk Gray. My hope is you'll join me on Saturdays along with our guests as we explore all things senior. We're having a wonderful response from our senior community. You're calling, suggesting ideas, we're listening and adding content. Please continue to do so. If you have suggestions for topics or a guest you'd enjoy hearing from, please call me and let me know. All right, I'm joined in studio by my producer, Bob. Good afternoon, Bob.
Good afternoon.
Gray Matters is dedicated entirely to all things senior. Each week, I have guests in the studio talking about what they know best and answering your questions and concerns. It will all be related to our senior population, news, community, health, lifestyle, finance, real estate, events surrounding seniors, and many other topics. This show is brought to you by our producer, New Mexico Reverse Mortgage, helping you move forward in reverse. Our website is www.reversenm.com, and our office phone number is 505-897-4900, or contact 770kkob.com. And go to the Gray Matters program show page. Today on my show, my guests are Ed Nunez with the City of Albuquerque Senior Affairs and Lori Millett with ABQ Elder Law PC. We're going to be opening up the phone lines, so please call if you'd like to ask Ed a question or ask me a question. The phone number is 243-3333. Welcome to the show, Ed.
Thanks a lot, Dirk. Pleasure to be here.
You know what? I've looked forward to this since you and I kind of put our heads together and thought it'd be fun for you to come on the show and talk about, you know, how you work in the senior affairs community. And so tell us about your background, Ed.
Well, you know, actually the meeting between you and I actually started when Gordon Mitchell, who's a colleague of yours, was at Manzano Mesa Multigenerational Center doing a presentation on double reverse mortgage, and I had him on the TV show that I did. So, yeah, we did put a lot of thought into this. The background I have is I've worked with the public for, you know, I've worked in Family Community Services Division, Parks and Recreation. I started out at 16 as a part-time recreation leader, and I always tell my staff, even now, I'm 55 and I'm still here. I went to school and got my degree. Uh-huh. So, you know, the background has been serving the public for, you know, over 40 years. And, you know, there's a shelf life for everyone, and my shelf life is just about done, yeah. But I look forward every day still to serving and, you know, our community and the city of Albuquerque and whatever faction, you know, that they have me doing. So it's a job that I still have a lot of passion for, a whole bunch.
Yeah, that's pretty obvious, Ed. How long have you been working with seniors?
You know, I started out with seniors, you know, again, in some of the centers that I worked at Family Community Services, we did have seniors at our center. At Cesar Chavez Community Center, we had a meal site, and that was 1998 to 2002. But most of the centers I worked at before 2006 were mostly for kids, mostly community centers. So in 2006, I was transferred to the Department of Senior Affairs and started out at Manzano Mesa Multigenerational Center. And, you know, I started working there. I also worked in transportation and shuttling seniors back and forth. So probably about, you know, about over 15 years, I would say, I've worked with seniors.
Well, you know something, I think they're fortunate to have you.
I think, you know, one of the things that will amaze you and, you know, is that the contacts that you make, the contacts and the people that you meet and the things that they tell you even as seniors that you think that you wouldn't think that they'd be thinking these things, they'll surprise you every single day. I think I'm surprised by their thoughts, what they think, what their, you know, what their desires still are. They want to be relevant still. They don't by no means, or, you know, want to check out. They want to make sure that they're respected, that they're heard. There's so many things that involved working with seniors, compassion, empathy, sympathy, a whole bunch of different things.
Well, you know, with the group that I work at at New Mexico Reverse Mortgage, you know, our average age of our client is 71 years old, and I'm getting up there, you know, over time, and so I'm more and more thinking about these types of things too. So it's fascinating. What do you think concerns seniors the most?
I think one of the things that, you know, what I mentioned is just being relevant on an everyday basis still, making sure that their concerns are heard. And there's been concerns that I've worked at centers that, frankly speaking, sometimes I'll think, you know, that's not a concern. It shouldn't be, but I have to listen. You know, maybe their table isn't set the right way. And I have a running conversation with a lady that I work with now, and she gets a little upset if things aren't set up exactly the way she wants them. So I've asked her. I brought her in the offices the other day. I said, look, you know, just come to me. If things aren't set up the right way, we'll get it done. Now, that may not concern a lot of people. They probably think that that doesn't matter. To her, it does. Yeah. To her, it does. So, you know, we and I told her that. I said, look, we're here to try to help you. You know, and so I think those are things that concern them, to be relevant, to be heard, to be understood, to be respected, all the things that they've lived for their whole life. They want to make sure that people still find them relevant, that they're still important, whether it be from the family, people that are around them, friends. You know, a lot of our centers have a lot to do with that, direct socialization. That is so important. It really is.
You know, what, Ed, give the listeners a visual of what one of your centers, your center, what does it look like?
Ours is a multi-generational center, and it's 37,000 square feet. It's a senior center, and what's a multi-generational center for kids and seniors. So it's a little bit different, Dirk, in that it has kids, you know, young kids, adults, things like that. It's different than the center that I worked at, which was North Valley Senior Center. You know, I was there from 2010 to 2014. That's just seniors, you know, seniors only. So when you come in, you know, to a senior center, you've got the meals, you've got socialization, presentation, hikes, trips, things to keep people active and their mind still operating and living in independence and dignity, things like that. So, but I got to say this, you know, I was at Manzano Mesa from 2006 to 2010, went to North Valley from 2010 to 2014, and then went back to Manzano Mesa in 2014. And this is where I'll end my, you know, my city career. But I think every time I go to a senior center now, and I love them all, I've been, you know, we network, we do a lot of that. And it kind of surprises me because I'll say, well, you know, our center is just a little bit different in that you have all ages there. But senior centers, I think that you see so much activity, so many people still coming to the center and wanting to be part of the community. And again, taking advantage of the beautiful, you know, centers that we have in the city of Albuquerque.
You walk me through your typical day, Ed. So you get to work and what?
You know, okay, so like I'll just give you an example. Yesterday we're starting our summer program, our youth program on Monday. So the typical day yesterday was meeting with my youth coordinator and my center supervisor who's in charge of scheduling for seniors. So we have to get the word out next week. Starting Monday, we start our 6-week youth program. Has everyone been notified about the classes that are canceled? The gym? Have we notified people that in the gymnasium that are affected by the youth program? What's coming up? The spray park. How many rentals do we have? Who's covering that? What covers do we have at the front desk? Things like that. Staffing. You know, I've got a staff of about 25, 26 people under me. So who's covering this? Who's covering that? Are the vans filled up for the trip this weekend? The spray park has been kind of losing pressure. So what are we doing about that? So just a number of things that go through my mind. I think even when I'm going to work, I'm always thinking, okay, and I drive my staff probably crazy because I'll call them back and say, look, I forgot to tell you something. You know, and I just don't want them not to be informed. Mm-hmm. I can't stand that. I can't. One of the things that I try to do with our staff is communicate. And I said this as we left the meeting yesterday. Communication. But let's make sure that we're telling everybody what they need to know. Because it drives me nuts when somebody comes back later and says, you didn't tell me. I think that's the thing as a manager there. And sometimes it happens. It does happen, but I just don't like that. I want to make sure that we're telling people what they need to know.
Well, in your experience dealing with seniors, what do you see as some of the challenges?
I think, you know what, for me, and I'm telling you this, when I started out and I was younger, and I think I had to understand to have more patience, to understand, you know, that it could be loneliness, it could be boredom, it could be financial, it could be medical. So, you know, there's a number of things that come to my mind now. And my mother, you know, my mother just passed away at 91 last year. She had a beautiful life. You know, she really did. But I understood that with my mom. There was things that my mom, you know, and working with her, there was things that I had to understand about her as well. So I think those are the things that kind of come to mind right away.
Give us your contact information.
My contact information at Manzano Mesa is 505-275-8731.
Okay, great. All right, Bob's telling me it's time for a break. You're listening to Gray Matters, discussing all things senior, produced by New Mexico Reverse Mortgage here on 94.5 FM and AM 770 News Radio, KKOB. I'll be right back. Welcome back to Gray Matters, discussing all things senior, produced by New Mexico Reverse Mortgage with your host, Dirk Gray. Gray Matters, discussing all things senior, is heard live weekly on Saturdays, beginning at 12 p.m. Mountain Time and streams to a global audience on 770kkob.com. All right, before I continue my conversation with Ed, I told you a couple of weeks ago about a new segment that we have. It's called Because You're a Senior, These Are Available to You. And that initial week, we discussed Amtrak's 15% discount to travelers 62 and older, and then Southwest Airlines offering a special senior fare for those 65 plus. And this week, I want to tell you about Kohl's, the department store. They're giving a 15% discount to those 55 plus every Wednesday. And Ross is offering a 10% off to those 55 and plus on Tuesdays. So every week, listen, because you're a senior, these are available to you. All right, I'm continuing my conversation with Ed Nunez from the City of Albuquerque Senior Affairs. Ed, I know that the senior mark now begins at 50. Talk about that. How, do they feel like they're seniors?
I think a lot of people, even when they're 60 or 65, don't feel like that. And we've asked and tossed things around. What else can we use besides senior? You know, because some people that have a connotation that they don't want to be seniors. And I think the baby boomers, you know, 50 plus, we started accepting them as members of the senior Department of Senior Affairs, I believe, you know, 10 years ago or so. And yeah, we still have a part of the connotation is a problem. But I think we also offer great trips and hikes. There's people that will say, well, I don't really want to be a senior, but that's a great hike, so I'll come anyway. So I think, for 50 and 55, I'm 55 myself, Dirk, and my wife always teases me because she says I don't want to take advantage of that senior discount, and I don't consider myself 55 or senior, but I am. That's the way it is. Mm-hmm. So I think there is still that connotation. But again, I think the department has done a great job in attracting those baby boomers to the centers by the things that we do. And it'll amaze you. I think it amazes me every day, the lives that are affected by what we do as a department. It really does.
Oh, you know what? You guys do great work.
Yes, I mean, and as I mentioned to you before, I've asked people from other cities. I visited Jacksonville, Florida a couple years ago, and I told you I'm a curious guy. So I went to one of their centers and looked to see what they had. I thought, well, shoot, they probably have more money. They probably have bigger budgets. As it turned out, our centers are still, you know, state of the art, you know, state as far as what we offer, the services. There was no comparison. That surprised me.
Yeah.
That did. I was kind of a little taken aback, you know, that I thought they would have more, you know, because New Mexico is, again, doesn't have a lot of money. But as far as what they do, you know, with the City of Albuquerque and the Department of Senior Affairs and the services that are offered, is really second to none. It really is. People come here, and I've talked to a lot of people from the Midwest, from the South, from the East, and I'll ask them, hey, what do you have back there? Not what you have here. So the City of Albuquerque can be very proud of what they do with the Department of Senior Affairs.
Talk about what are the seniors' biggest fears?
You know, I think one of the things is financial. I think medical, and one of the things that's really going to surprise you is nutrition. The meals that we put out there, sometimes I remember this vividly. One time we had cleaning week at this one of the centers that I worked at, and we didn't, you know, we got the word out. We had the flyers out. We let everybody know, and there was a man out front, and his lip was quivering. It really was. He was very upset. So I went out and talked to him, and I said, sir, what's the problem? Well, you know, I didn't know you were closed. He'd expected to have his meal there. And so it's not easy to say, well, just go down the street and go to it. They're planning for medication or food. Mm. They've got a fixed income.
Mm-hmm.
So I think one of the things that always surprises me is that, and I tell my staff this, is don't forget the impact these meals have on these seniors. And they're good meals, by the way. They're made from scratch right there, and they're affordable and nutritious. I can't say enough about them, but they have an impact. They have an effect. And I think that's the thing that I always make sure. I look around. I go in there to the social hall every day just to take a look. Just take a look. We have the same people coming almost every day.
Uh-huh.
You know, and along the way, I think one of the other things is we lose some of them, and that hurts. You know, it really does. When you know, we do lose some, you know, through attrition or just natural aging, things like that. But the meals themselves that we served to the public, I mean, I'm telling you, and then you can get them on the weekend. You can call and have meals delivered to your home. You know, so I'm telling you, it's an amazing department that people probably. You know, some people don't know enough about, but right. The department does a great job in promoting what we do.
Do you become a member, or do you just go there and participate? Like you said, the meals are affordable. Talk about that. Like, what does it cost to have a meal?
Okay, well, you go there to any center. Here's a good thing is that you sign up at Manzano Mesa Multigenerational Center. You're a member of North Domingo. You're a member of Highland, Barelas, Los Volcanes. You know, you're a member of all the centers. And so the meals, if you're 60 plus, their $2 suggested donation, and in, you know, some cases, the donation that's suggested, remember the language says suggested. Some people suggested, hey, here's a dollar, whatever. You know, and most people are very generous, though. They are. So you can get the meals at a very, very good price, you know, if you're 60 plus, and then $5.25 if you're 55, and $7.25 if you're 50 and under. So, but again, they're very affordable, and people, I think when they sign up, and this is our busy time of year, at least at Manzano Mesa, because of the spray park, and, you know, people just are amazed, and it's $13 a year. A year. You know, not a month, not a day, 13 a year. I think we feel like that's very, very affordable.
Yeah, it's amazing what you provide. Talk about, and you actually talked about this prior to knowing that you were going to come on the show, how proud you are to be associated with some of your volunteers.
I think, you know, one of the things I look at our center, you know, they volunteer to drive, they do the bingo, they work in the fitness center, they work in the computer lab. So volunteers, without volunteers at your center, and it keeps them going as well. It keeps, you know, again, you know, there's a lot of people, when I retire, I'm like, what am I going to do? Maybe volunteering will be one of them, one of the things I do. We have a senior center, Bear Canyon Senior Center, where they have a very large faction of senior volunteers, and they all do. I don't want to just mention, single them out, but Bear Canyon, I think, won the, Station of the Year award at the, at our volunteer dinner, or volunteer breakfast. So volunteers, again, that keeps them busy. They're active, they're involved, and they're vested. I think there's an investment there in the center and how things are going. They're going to tell you too. And believe me, I had several conversations this week with the computer volunteers. They've been there for a long time, and so, you know, there's been some and, you know, some things going on in there that we had to talk about. But they're part of what you do. They're vested in, and they're concerned about what goes on in the community. So there's some more voices that can tell, you know, can lend to what goes on an everyday basis.
And Ed, do the majority of seniors in Albuquerque know about you guys and what you do and what you offer?
Dirk, we sure hope so. Yeah. You know, we sure hope so. And the word is getting out more, I think, all the time. You know, people spread words, and, you know, somebody says something to somebody else, and we sure hope so. I think so. I hope so.
Well, I know that, you know, a number of seniors are on fixed incomes. So talk about that as it relates to you guys.
Well, I think that's one of the things that we talked about earlier. You know, sometimes seniors in their own community don't want to stray outside North Valley. They want to stay at Los Volcanes. They want to stay at Borellas. They want to stay in their community. So, mm-hmm. And sometimes in their cases, they have to take the bus. They may have limited gas money. I think people don't probably see that. You know, a lot of seniors don't have maybe they're just living on Social Security. Maybe that's all they have. They don't have a retirement. I think a lot of people don't probably understand that. My mother was able to live on just Social Security, and she had a little bit of a retirement. But I think that's one of the things. That's why her centers are so important in those communities, because they can just come right there. And, you know, sometimes we do have cleaning weeks that we have to shut down, but we try to make sure that they can go to a center that's relatively close if they choose to do so.
Yeah. How many, if you broke it down between the younger and the older, is it like a 50-50 mix, or?
You know what, when I look at Manzano Mesa Multi-Generational Center and I think about if it's a 50-50, I wouldn't say that. I'd still say it's more, you know, I'll give you 68, mm-hmm. 30.
Seniors.
Seniors, 68 to 32 seniors. But, you know, when I look around, and this is every day, we've got people using the fitness center. But, you know, older people too. So you can use a fitness center there at 18 years old at Manzano Mesa. You know, the game room, there's seniors using that for table. They love the table tennis over there. So, but again, you know, you have a mixture there. But I'll still say that it's mostly, and a lot of people will say that. They'll say this is a senior center or a community center. And I'm a stickler to that. It's multi-generational. You know, I'll say, well, you know, I don't mean to correct you, but it's a multi-generational center. So. Yeah.
Okay, Ed, give us your contact information.
505-275-8731.
Okay, well, we'll have to do this again. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks so much. You bet. It's great.
All right, Bob's telling me it's time for a break. You're listening to Gray Matters, discussing all things senior, produced by New Mexico Reverse Mortgage, with your host, Dirk Gray. I'll be back shortly. Welcome back to Gray Matters, discussing all things senior, produced by New Mexico Reverse Mortgage, with your host, Dirk Gray. Gray Matters is heard weekly on Saturdays, beginning at 12 p.m. Mountain Time, and streams to a global audience on AM 770 News Radio KKOB. All right. Normally we have our New Mexico Reverse Mortgage weekly Q&A questions, but we have Joanne on the line, and I want to give her an opportunity to ask her question. Hi, Joanne. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for taking my call. It's a very informative program. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
I have a question about power of attorney. And, you know, sometimes things happen in life. You might be going down the freeway at 70 miles an hour or who knows what. But anyway, things happen in life. Now, I do have a power of attorney. But, I mean, if I'm unable to speak or tell the people where it is, I don't know if the computer would have it, so forth and so on. What is the procedure there for them to follow? Obviously, the first responders will take over.
So, Joanne?
Shed some light on that subject for me, please.
Yes, I can. Joanne, typically what would happen is, if you were my client, I would encourage you to give a copy of your power of attorney to the people that you have named as your agents or decision maker. And then in the case of a first responder situation, they would find a phone number on you, or there are some apps on your cell phone if you have a smartphone. And then the first responders would call the number that you have, and that leads to a chain of calls that gets to your decision makers. Does that help?
Yes. In other words, I guess just like the Boy Scouts, be prepared for anything.
Yes, Joanne, that's right. Not having powers of attorney is one of the biggest problems that I see. So good for you that you've got those in place.
Thank you for calling, Joanne.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate you a lot. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. We're going to talk about the questions and answers. We got an email earlier in the week, and they were talking about some of the misconceptions and the myths. Mace, the president of our company, likes to call them senior ghost stories. I think that's kind of cute. But anyway, one of the questions was, you no longer own your home, the bank or government does. And this by far is the biggest misperception that we run across. And to be very clear, you are still on title. You still own the home. Should you decide to move, you can sell the home. Otherwise, the home will likely pass to your heirs as you direct in your will or trust. So that's number one. Number two was this person thought the home needed to be free and clear to qualify. And no, your home does not need to be free and clear of liens or mortgages. More than half of the reverse mortgage transactions originated or done so with the intent, at least in part, to pay off an existing mortgage lien or other debt like credit card balances or an automobile loan. Many senior homeowners can benefit from no longer having high monthly debt obligations hanging over their head. And then I believe the last one that this person asked about is both spouses must live in the home to qualify, and that is not true at all. Their requirement is that one of the homeowners must live in the home. So that's our question and answers for this week. If you would like to email me, it's dirkg@reversenm.com. All right, back to Lori Millett. Lori is with ABQ Elder Law, and we're fortunate to have you here, Lori.
Thank you.
So let's talk about some of the things that you think seniors make mistakes doing. Is that a good way to say it?
That's a great way to say it.
Okay. At one of them you listed was putting kids on deeds to property.
That is a huge, huge mistake. I almost never recommend that to a client because when you do that, you are giving the child a lot of power. And as hard as this may be for the listeners to believe, there are children out there who evict their parents from the home. There are children who will sell the home out from under the senior and keep the money. There are kids who will move in and not pay rent, and then they'll move all their friends in. And sometimes the friends are not the kind of people that you would want living in your home. So even if you don't believe your child would ever do this to you, keep in mind that when you put your child on the title to your house or your land, that land and home becomes subject to that child's creditors. as Joanne said, you never know what might happen. If your child accidentally causes an accident and ends up having a judgment entered against them, guess whose home is going to be looked for to satisfy that judgment? The senior's home. Don't do that. Similarly, do not put them on your bank accounts. It's the same issue. Powers of attorney should be used to give your trusted decision maker access to your bank account so he can take care of your property and paying your bills and so forth if you're not able to do it. Additionally, by putting a child or anyone else on the title to your home or as a co-owner on your bank account, when you pass away, that asset goes to the co-owner. And that child has no legal obligation to share. And I'm telling you, they don't share. The parents are certain that they can be trusted to share the money, and it just doesn't happen because the law is so clear about how property passes to a co-owner or a payable on death beneficiary.
Okay, so Lori, explain something just for clarification. When you say your trusted, not advisor, but
decision maker.
So that's the person that the power of attorney gives the power to, that they've chosen to act on their behalf.
Yes, that's correct. It's a decision that you have to think through very carefully. And so very quickly, I think it would help for people to understand you need to choose someone who is going to act in your best interest and make decisions that you would want, not what they would want for you. And also, trust that you can trust them not to take your money, not to use your money to pay their bills.
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge, huge issue. So you've got to make the decision with your head and not your heart.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. All right. So we talked about the power of attorney. What about disabled beneficiaries in estate plans?
If you have a disabled child or a disabled person that you want to leave some assets to, that person may be on some kind of public benefit, such as Supplemental Security Income or SSI or Medicaid. Those people cannot inherit from you. They will lose their benefit. It is so important to leave the inheritance to those disabled beneficiaries in a special needs trust. There are several different kinds of special needs trust, but if you don't do that, the person that you're trying to help by leaving money or property to is actually going to hurt them a lot because they'll lose their Medicaid or they'll lose their SSI or whatever other benefit that they might be getting.
Okay, so just from a practical point of view, if I come and sit down with you and want to discuss these types of things, tell me how the conversation goes. Do you just do some exploring, or what do you do?
I do some exploring. I ask a lot of questions. And one of the questions I always ask is, are there any disabled beneficiaries in your life or disabled people, a disabled child, grandchild? And when the answer is yes, I want to know what kind of benefits that child is on because they may lose that benefit if they inherit from you.
Okay. So you just ask good questions. You ask good questions, you get good answers.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I do a lot of digging.
Okay. Let's talk about kids taking care of a surviving spouse.
Well, I had a call a few years ago from a surviving spouse, wife. She was the stepmother to the son. Dad put the house that husband and wife are living in the son's name. As soon as dad died, son evicted spouse, his stepmother. And that happens with non-step-parent situations as well. It is really a bad idea to trust your child to take care of the surviving spouse, particularly if it's a step parent. Things may be all hunky-dory while you are alive, but when you pass away, you would be shocked at how ugly things can be. So get your plan in writing. Do some estate planning to protect your surviving spouse.
Okay. All right. Well, we've got somebody calling. Okay. I was wrong. Not yet. So I guess what I'm hearing you say is people need to plan, one, while they can think properly. When do you recommend people make these types of decisions that are going to affect them down the road?
I think that as soon as you turn 18, you need to have powers of attorney. I have old and young clients, and there could be a car accident.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you become disabled after a car accident. If there's no power of attorney in place, your family may have to go to court to get a guardianship, and that's expensive, it's invasive, and nobody wants to have that kind of thing going on in their life. But if you have a power of attorney and you have chosen your decision maker carefully, you can avoid that kind of complication.
Okay. Give our listeners your contact information.
My number is 830-0202.
Okay, great. All right, Bob's telling me it's time for a break. You're listening to Gray Matters, discussing all things senior, produced by New Mexico Reverse Mortgage. Our phone number is 897-4900. I'll be right back. Welcome back to Gray Matters, discussing all things senior, produced by New Mexico Reverse Mortgage, with your host, Dirk Gray. Please listen for my future guests and show dates at the end of the show. I'm continuing my conversation with Lori Millett from ABQ Elder Law. And Rudy, you've been patient enough to hold. Welcome to the show, Rudy.
Well, thank you. Listen, I'm 60, and I'm single, no kids. She's bringing up some stuff that I'd never heard before, so in my, I've got a life insurance policy that I've continued to maintain. I've left my dad, who's 87, as the beneficiary because no one wants to lose their kids. So that's what I do if I were to die before him. It sounds like I've made a mistake because he obviously is on Medicare and Medicaid.
Are you sure he's on Medicaid?
Medicare.
Okay, then it's not a problem because people who are on Medicare and Social Security disability will not lose their benefits. But if he has to go on Medicaid, for example, if he has to go in a nursing home and Medicaid pays for that care, then yes, it will be a problem for him.
Okay, so how do I fix that? Do I just go to the insurance company and say, wait a second, we need to fix this?
Yes.
How would I do that?
Do you have a will or a trust?
God, you're going to hate me, but at 60, I do not.
I don't hate you. I see that all the time. If you get a will done, because not everybody needs a trust, but a properly written will can put the option for a trust in there, you would not be able to keep him from losing his Medicaid because he's 87. But, you know, if you can pay attention to what's going on with him, and if he does have to go on Medicaid, then change your beneficiary designation, change your will, and leave the money to someone else. A charity is fine if you don't have anyone else to leave it to.
No, I have brothers, but, you know, obviously the reason I did that is because, you know, if I were to die before my dad, that would be unfortunate for him.
Yes.
Because no parent wants to lose their child.
No.
But if both my parents were gone, I would have just left it to my brothers. But that brings up the other thing. The power of attorney is with my brother. I've already set that up. But what if he were to pass before I did? Is there a way to make a second power of attorney, or how do we do that?
I always recommend putting at least one alternate agent or decision maker in your power of attorney. And I would like to have two alternates because think about it. The people that you name are the people that you hang out with. So if you're in a car accident and you hang out with your brother, he may well be in the car with you. So you would want to have a second person named who would be available in case something happened to both of you.
Okay. Well, I'm really glad for your show today because I consider myself pretty aware, but I was completely unaware of both of those things.
Well, I'm so glad. This was helpful for you, Rudy.
Thank you for calling,
so
Rudy.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Have a great day. All right, Lori, let's talk. You know, we were talking about power of attorneys. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned during the break that there's a couple of types. So will you talk about those and the differences between the two?
Yes. New Mexico has two different sets of laws that govern powers of attorney. The first one is the Uniform Healthcare Decisions Act that governs medical decisions. There is a default decision-making tree in the Uniform Healthcare Decisions Act if you do not have a healthcare power of attorney. But you may not like or trust the person who is in that default decision-making tree. So I always want people to have a healthcare power of attorney as well as a financial power of attorney. There is no default decision-making tree in the financial power of attorney law. If you become disabled and you're single, like Rudy was, then the only option your family is going to have is to go get a guardianship. And we don't want that. We want to try and stay out of court. So powers of attorney, in my opinion, are the most important legal documents people of all ages can have. As soon as my son turned 18, guess what he signed?
Mm-hmm.
So they really are critical documents. Again, in my opinion, more important than a will or a trust in most cases.
Okay, thanks for answering that, Lori. One of the things that you mentioned, too, was giving assets away to qualify for Medicaid.
That's a huge mistake that I see. I do a lot of Medicaid and VA benefit planning in my work, and invariably someone will come in and they will say, oh, I put my child on the house or I gave my land away, and now I want to qualify for Medicaid because I've had a stroke. Well, guess what? It's not going to work. In most cases, the child can give it back to you, but can the child be trusted to give it back to you? And it may disqualify you for a particular kind of program. So don't do it. Medicaid has a 5-year look back. And you may think, how are they going to find out? Well, somehow they do. All those computers talk to each other.
Mm-hmm.
So just don't do it. Just say no to drugs. Just say no to giving assets away.
Okay, we've got about 40 seconds left, Lori. Talk about kids paying for parents' expenses and reimbursing without a promissory note.
It is very common for children to say, well, I'll go ahead and pay mom and dad's expenses, and then I'll get reimbursed later on. But if there is not a concurrent promissory note that is signed by the parent at that time, then that's not going to work.
Okay, great. Give us your contact information, Lori.
My phone number is 830-0202.
Okay, thank you for being on the show today, Lori.
Thank you.
All right, my guest for the next 2 weeks, June 17th, we have Brad Yablonsky, I hope I'm saying that right, Brad, with UPS Financial, Shanna Frost with Meals on Wheels. June 24th, we have Mari Jamison doing a show on downsizing. Marnie is a nationally known syndicated columnist and speaker. I think you'll really enjoy that. I want to thank Ed Nunez and Lori Mellett for being guests today on my show. I also want to thank my producer, Bob, as well as the 770 KGB team for making Gray Matters Discussing All Things Senior, produced by New Mexico Reverse Mortgage, your favorite place for all things senior, and you, our audience, for joining today's broadcast. Thank you for listening to the voice of Reverse Mortgages and Seniors in New Mexico. If you'd like to call, the office phone number is 505-897-4900 or go to 770kqob.com. My NMLS number is 222-785. New Mexico Reverse Mortgages NMLS number is 1102656. This information is not from HUD or FHA and was not approved by HUD or government agency. If the borrower does not meet loan obligations such as taxes and insurance, then the loan will need to be repaid. The information given during the show is not meant to be all-inclusive. Any guests on the show are not endorsed by Gray Matters, New Mexico Reverse Mortgage, or KKOB. Thank you for joining me today. I'm Dirk Gray.